precious blood. You tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing.
Thank you, Nick. All right. Did everybody get one of the handouts? If you didn't get one of the handouts with the lesson on it this morning, raise your hand. Okay? Good. Thank you, ushers. Of course, this is our Next Step Sunday. This is not going to be our typical type message. We're going to be a little more specific and do it a little different this morning because we're talking about the next steps. Our church, one of the things that we've thought about and since the early days is, you know, we want to help people in their Christian life to progress and go forward. And so one thing that we do, we try to do at least, is when someone visits our church and comes in, starts attending our church, we try to help them find out where are they at spiritually in their life, because everybody's at different levels, and help them identify that and then know where they need to go from there. What is the next step of growth I should take? And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help everybody to do that. Look, there's some verses that are on your sheet I want you to turn to. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15 and verse 8. John chapter 15 and verse 8. I shouldn't tell you this. I'll tell you ahead of time. If you want to know the answers on your sheet and you're having a hard time, that's what the banner's all about, okay? Thanks for coming. Don't cheat. And when I give you the answer, act surprised. Wow, I didn't know that. Okay. But we want to explain through these all briefly and help you out with that. John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified." How does God get glory? Of course, that's our theme this year. Everything we do, do it to the glory of God. "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." Look at a couple verses down from there. Look at John chapter the same chapter. Look at verse 16, eight verses down. It says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. What does God want in our life as Christians? God wants us to be fruitful, to produce fruit. How is fruit produced? Well, it's produced when something grows. Okay? If you plant a whatever, you name the kind of tree you want. We have an avocado tree, which is a bummer because we don't like avocados, okay? Usually they fall off on the grass and the daycare kids throw them at each other. But, you know, you want to have avocados on that tree. If that tree is healthy, if that tree is fed, it will grow. And the natural outgrowth of that is what? It will produce avocado. Is avocado a fruit or a vegetable? Man, what the worst tasting fruit in the world, okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I just don't like avocados. Everybody says, oh, I'll come to your house and get them. It's like, come. I mean, they're back there. I hope the dog doesn't bite you. We don't have a dog. I'll just say that. But that's natural. So what happens in our life? How do we produce the kind of fruit God wants us to have in our life as Christians? We grow. As we grow, the fruit that's produced in our life will be natural. Okay? Turn over to Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. We'll look at three more verses, and then we'll pray and get started here. Just go through this and try to help you out. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every work, good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Same theme. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll read one verse here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. Thank you for bringing your Bibles to church. I think it's a good idea to bring our Bibles to church and just kind of look at them every week and have a Bible, maybe take some notes if God speaks to you, some things you want to remember. I think that's a good habit to get into. If you need one, I think we have some in your bookstore. Talk to your Sunday school teacher. They'll be more than glad to help you with that. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you toward each other aboundeth. Paul here talking to the Thessalonians says their faith was growing exceedingly, which is a good thing. One more verse. It's a verse we all know, and then we'll pray. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to desire, as a Christian, when we get saved, we're supposed to desire the word so that we grow. How many of you are parents? You've had a child. Raise your hand. Okay? You bring that little thing home and you're so excited. That first night, somewhere about 2 o'clock in the morning when Satan's alive and well, that kid starts to cry. Why do they typically cry? They're hungry. By the way, you say, how do you enjoy that? It's easy. Every time the kid gets up to cry, go to the refrigerator and get yourself a snack. You'll enjoy it, okay? Now, those kids cry, that is normal. At that age, they need to eat, okay? It's normal if they don't eat. Why? They desire that because that helps them to grow, and that's what God desires for each and every one of us. Let's pray this morning. Our Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for these that are here today taking time, thinking it important enough to come to church, to be with God's people, to hear the God's word. I pray you'd bless our time together. Help us in this very practical message, Lord, to find our next step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as we have mentioned a few things here, God wants us to grow as Christians. There's no doubt about that. Read the New Testament. Read your Bible. It's very simple. That's the expectation God has for us. God expects us to grow and to be fruitful. That should be the norm. As I mentioned earlier, that's no different than a parent with a baby. You expect their child to grow. By the way, some grow bigger than others, okay? That's no different than a farmer who plants and he expects a crop to grow. It's no different than an orchard owner. He plants a tree and he expects the tree to produce fruit. Now, that sounds easy enough. Now, for our musing today, how does that happen? If that sounds, that's what we're supposed to do, how does it happen? This morning, we're going to teach you just, now this what we're going to talk to you about isn't everything. There's a lot to it. Each one of these you can expound on. But just how does that happen? I want you to turn over to Isaiah. We're laying the foundation. We're not going to be here any longer than we normally are. I can see what time it is. The clock's right there. And we're not going to compete with lunch, okay? We'll get you out in time for lunch. But thank you for that word. But so just bear with me. We'll set the foundation and we'll go, okay? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, we'll start. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. Thank you for finding it. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9. If you're a new Christian, let me tell you how you can find it. Look to the table of contents. I remember as a new Christian sitting in church and a pastor said, hey, turn to this book. I'm like, you know, Job. I'm like, Job, I can't find Job. There's a book of Job, you know, but that must be the same thing. But I remember flipping in there and then I'm like, man, I got tired of that. So I went down to the Christian bookstore and I got these little tabs. And it had the books of the Bible and I taped them on every single page. So it's like, now I can cheat. It's like right there, you know, I can see where we're going. But so use the table of contents. Or just open it anywhere and act like you're there, and it's all good, all right? That's what the staff does. Verse 9, it says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, growing to maturity. That's about growing to spiritual maturity. For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, okay? That's the key. How do we grow to spiritual maturity? Here a little, there a little, step by step. You understand that? We don't look. I'm glad that as a new Christian, and I was over here, and I'm like, wow, I want to really get going in my Christian life. I'm glad that I looked in this area. I didn't look way down there. Because way down, you know, I went into church. It's like, bro, you know, come on. I was your typical just your heathen 17, 18-year-old. And I'm like, man, these church people are weird. Look, you know, it's kind of different here. And it's like, what is that all about? But I didn't look at that. I just looked, what's my next step? What am I supposed to be doing here? And I just took those steps, okay? It's not about the end game. It's about where you're going. What step are you taking? Are you going forward? Little by little. Very, very important. Now, this is our next step Sunday, and so here's what it's all about. As we go through this message, and again, it's not your typical Sunday morning message, but it's important. We want you to evaluate yourself. Kind of look on where you're at on this and say, where am I at, and where do I need to go, but what is that next step I should take? What should I do? What is the next thing that comes? See, in our country, we've kind of accepted that not all Christians grow, you know. We get excited when someone comes into church and, wow, they start growing in their faith. It's like, that's great. You know, that ought to be the norm. That shouldn't be the exception, okay? Just like when a baby's born, if they're not growing, usually there's some type of health problem. That's not the norm. That's the exception. Maybe there's some type of disease or something the child got. One of our children, I think it was Emily, when she was born, there was nothing wrong with her, but she was losing weight, you know, ounces. And so the doctor was concerned and feed her twice. And so we got hamburgers and shoved them down her. We did everything we could. And it's like, we're going to fatten this kid up. So when she goes to the doctor will be happy. But it wasn't normal. She was not growing. And it should be normal. And so if you're saved, you're a Christian, you want to grow and go forward. So I'm going to go through our steps. But as we go through, I want you to just think of yourself here. Where am I at? Is this me? Have I done this step? Where do I need to be? Now, about a year ago, Pastor asked about this, and we got together. We kind of put our steps together, and it's from a church standpoint. What kind of steps do people need to take? We want to make it real easy. How many of you like instructions that are easy? Okay, you know, it's like you go to IKEA, and first of all, the names are all, Swedish, Dorf or whatever, and you buy the bed, and you get the instruction manual, and it's in 6 different languages, and so you can't really read it. It's mostly picture-based, and sometimes it doesn't make sense. That's a real pain in the neck. So that's why I make my son or my son-in-law do it now, okay? I'm not doing it, so I let them handle it. But it's like, it should be like, hey, it's easy. Here's step, you know what I want? Step 1, do this. Great. Step 2, do this. Wonderful. Now move on to step 3. Then move to step 4. I like it easy. How many of you are like that? Okay, mostly men. Now, ladies, you like step 1. Let's go to step 8. Let's go back to step 7. Sometimes my wife reads these health books, and it's like she'll be reading in the last part of the book, and then the next night she's in the middle of the book, and then the next night she's back to the end. The next night, I said, I have this radical concept, hon. You should start from the beginning and go to the end. Because maybe I missed something here. Maybe we're reading it like Chinese. You start in the back, and you go to the front. But that's just, it works for her. It doesn't work for me, okay? But we need steps. So let's look at some of these steps. We've identified them. We have 4 steps, and each step has 2 plateaus, 2 steps within there. By the way, we got these steps from the greatest command in the Bible, okay? What's the greatest command in the Bible? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, okay? Then he gave us a second. The second's like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these 2 laws hang all the commandments, or hang all the law, one of those 2. Okay, what does that mean? Everything in the Bible can be boiled down to those 2 things, loving God, loving others. Okay, so let's look at step 1, the most important. Step 1 is loving God. Loving God. Is that on your sheet? Don't look up there. On the patio, you have no choice. We're not going to put the thing on the banner, so you're going to have to listen. Loving God. There's in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, thou shalt love the God, Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, what does it mean to love God? You see, we are not very specific in what we do, right? We talked on Fresh Start Sunday, the first Sunday in January, we talked about, making changes in your life. And when we talked about that, we mentioned be specific. Oh, I want to be a better Christian. What does that mean? That's too general. I want to be a better husband. La-di-da, most people do. Okay, really? I want to be a better wife. Well, not me, but I want to be a better wife. That's great, but everybody will say that. But here's the thing. What does it mean to be a better husband? What does it mean to be a better wife? What does it mean to be a better mom? What does it mean to be a better dad? What does it mean to be a better employee? What are the specifics? You see what I'm saying? If it's not specific, what will help me to be a better husband? Identify that and do it. Those are steps. And so, loving God, there's 2 things that we're at the bottom there, because we're going to step up. Okay? What does it mean to love God? The little thing there, salvation, then baptism. That's the starting point. The starting point of your Christian life is the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and you become one of his children. Fact of the matter is, if we don't have salvation, we're not really one of God's children. In a spiritual sense, we've not been born, so we're not going to grow. Spiritually speaking, we have to be born first. That's the very first step. We truly cannot love God until we are saved. Jesus answered in John chapter 3 and told Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again. He spoke this to a man who was a religious leader. He snuck at night to talk to Jesus. Jesus just boiled it right down to the very thing he needed. Not talking generally, specifically, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, you'll never see the kingdom of heaven. You'll never see it. So that's the starting point. We cannot grow until you have been born. That's where it all starts. God is a God of order. He has this order here. And the first step is for us to be saved. If you're here this morning, now the majority of you I kind of see and know. You've been here many times, so I'm assuming you're saved. You've been telling us you're saved. That's a starting point. But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's a step you need to take.
Amen.
There's no other steps. Listen to the rest of the message. I'll try to say something funny to keep your attention, but nothing's really going to be for you because you haven't been born yet. Okay? I heard that you're supposed to, when you're pregnant, you're supposed to talk to the children in the stomach. Anybody hear that? I mean, I tried that with Jessica, and she was born, and it didn't really help, so I just skipped the other six. I'm like, whatever. But I used to get in there and say, now, Jessica, grab mom's kidney, you know, get her in the pancreas. No, just kidding. You could talk to her. I don't know if she was listening or not. It didn't seem to, you know, I can't ask her now. She doesn't know. It felt good, you know. But listen, you're not born. You're not going to grow. So let me just boil the whole message down for you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, that's a step you need to take today.
Amen.
Okay? At the end of the service, we can help you with that.
Yes.
We can help you with that. Now, you've been saved. What's the second part? Baptism. Let me explain baptism. Baptism is not part of being saved. You don't have to be saved and be baptized to go to heaven. You have to trust Jesus Christ and be born to go to heaven. Now, what is baptism? You know what baptism is? Baptism is basically you, after you've trusted Christ, being baptized to let the world know, I've trusted Christ. It's identifying with Jesus Christ. And it's saying, I'm not ashamed that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so when a person gets baptized, as soon as they possibly can, they ought to get baptized right after. By the way, when I got saved as a new Christian, I did not get baptized until 2 years later. And can I just tell you something? I did not grow in those 2 years. Okay? I was still doing all kinds of... It's when I decided to get right with God and I knew I needed to get baptized, that was the first step of obedience. So we need to be baptized. You say, well, I've been saved. I've trusted Christ. You say, well, you know what? But I was baptized as a baby. That's not the Bible way. The Bible way is baptism after salvation. Acts chapter 8. Let's look at that briefly. I will hurry through the others. Acts chapter 8. We'll look at verse 36. John, is this the verse that's missing? Yeah, if you, there's just some Bibles, they took this verse out. I guess they didn't like it. But that wouldn't be the Bible I'd want to read. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. It's Philip was doing some evangelism, and God sent him specifically to an Ethiopian to witness to him. When he got there, the Ethiopian was reading the book of Isaiah, and he didn't understand it. And so Philip was able to witness to him, and he came to, and he's going to get saved here. But listen to what he says. Chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, look, here's water. What would stop me from being baptized right now? That's what he's saying. And Philip's going to answer. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know what Philip was saying? If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, then you can be baptized. And he said, I believe with all my heart. And he said, stop the chariot. We're getting baptized right here, buddy. And he got baptized. That's when we get baptized, after we trust Jesus Christ. You say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is God tells us to do it. And if we don't do the first thing he asks us to do, we have trouble doing the second, third, and the fourth thing. Okay? We're skipping a step in the process, and it's not going to help. Okay? We got to get that out of the way. So have you been saved and baptized? The next thing on there, in our loving God, this is a little benign. What I mean by that, it's not as defined. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. After we're saved and baptized, the direction of our life has to start going forward for God. That's spiritual growth. There are a lot of things involved with spiritual growth. We looked at the verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. God says, get on that path of growth. Get into the Bible. Start going forward in your Christian life. And that's what we need to do, okay? You've been saved. You should get baptized. Then once you're baptized, start going forward. There's just so many elements of it. Get in your Bible. We've really been encouraging people to read their Bible this year. Let's get in God's Word. After I started going back to church, I started going to church. I decided I was going to start serving God. First thing in my mind, I said, I got to get baptized. Never done that. So I went. No one told me. I went. They didn't have a banner. I went over there and I said, I need to be baptized. They baptized me. Then I started growing. I started reading my Bible. I got a Bible, started reading it right away. Started spending time in prayer. Started being faithful to church. Just started doing all these things that would teach me about God so I could go forward. By the way, it's exciting. I'm getting in that Bible and I'm reading it. I'm like, man, I didn't know that was in there. That's good. That's in there? You're kidding me. Good stuff. By the way, it's been a couple years since I started doing that. And guess what? It's still good. Okay? Read that Bible. There's all kinds of things in there. You know, our family, we all meet on Saturday and we go over our little booklets. And you know, we all read the same thing. And over this last week, if you're reading Numbers, basically the key thing this week was complaining. How many of you got that? It was like complaining. Everybody has to go around. And one of the days that they wrote what they learned in the Bible, they had to tell us what it is. And everybody kind of had to say, complaining, complaining, complaining. Like, man, that's what I got too, okay? People complain. And by the way, God's not for that. He's trying to teach us not to do that, all right? But it's there. Just get in your Bible and grow and start going forward. It's a vital step. So ask yourself, before we move on to number two, have you been saved? If you haven't been saved, that's a step you need to take. If you've not been baptized after you trusted Christ, that's a step you need to take. Maybe you've never made that commitment to grow. You're not getting in your Bible. You're not spending time with God. Maybe that's the step you need to take. Ask yourself. So those are the first two underneath loving God. Number two, step two is loving others. Love others. We read Mark chapter 8, verse 30, now verse 31. And the second, the greatest command in the Bible, is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Once we start loving God, we're supposed to love others. You cannot properly love God if you do not properly love others. Your relationship with others will affect your relationship with God. They're intertwined. Okay? And he says it all hangs on those two, loving God, loving others. If I have bitterness in my heart towards somebody, that affects my relationship with God. There was someone in the Bible, I think it's Matthew, where there's someone's coming. If you come to the altar to bring a gift and you have aught against your brother, God says, leave your gift here. Don't give it to me. Now, if it was me right now, I would say, go ahead and throw your gift in the offering and then we'll still take care of this. But God said, leave the gift here. Go be reconciled to your brother first. Why? Because that's important. That affects our relationship with God. We're supposed to love each other. Okay? Christianity is just not self-serving. So, what is underneath that? Now, Sunday school. Where are we at? Sunday school membership. Being in a Sunday school class. You say, how does that work? Well, here's how it works in our church. If we're going to love and help others, we have to know others need help. Does that make sense? A church, look, if all we had was one service and we packed everybody in here, there's a lot of people here. I may not know if you missed church or you were here, right? Because there's so many people. I may not know if you're hurting or things are going well. But when we meet in smaller Sunday school classes, we get to know each other. It's a little easier to get some Christian friends and help each other out. Now, this isn't Bible, but I'll throw it out there. We've studied or read about Sunday school to try to help it. And everything we've read, and by the way, I've been doing this for 25 years. I know it's true. If someone comes to our church but doesn't get involved in a Sunday school class, they don't stay in our church because they don't develop friends. They have no, you know, all of us need encouragement. Everybody does. There's going to come a time you're going to come into church and maybe you've had a rough week. Maybe it was this week, right? It was just a rough week. And you come to church, you get in, you just, if you come into a service like this, man, we're just trying to find a seat, okay? But if you go to a Sunday school class and you meet somebody and get talking, it's like, man, I just feel better. I got to talk to somebody. I got encouraged here. That's what that's all about, okay? And so I encourage you, if you do not attend a Sunday school, I guarantee you somebody here has invited you to their class or is trying to help you. I encourage you to go. And go there and meet some friends. Get to know, you know, we all need friends and we need people that encourage us. Tells us in Hebrews that we're supposed to exhort one another. But if we don't, people come to church and say, I just don't feel close in that church. By the way, neither would I. When I go, some of us, we went to a hockey game probably 3 months ago. And now I was close to the people I was sitting with. It was some folks from the church. But there was a bunch of people there. I didn't feel close to them. I didn't even know who they were. All I knew, the hot dogs were expensive. Okay, it was just, you know, but why? I'm just in a big group. But if I'm in a smaller group, I get to know people and I feel close to them. We can encourage and pray for one another. That's what Sunday school is all about. We want to be helping each other. When people are sick and they have babies and so forth, we do things to help them out to the best of our ability. By the way, sometimes people come to church and say, "You guys didn't help me out when I had this problem." Well, one reason may be because no one knew. Okay? We can't, you know, we're not psychic. Okay? We're not. But if we're in a small group and someone knows you're having a hard time or you need help or you're moving, amen? Say, "I'm moving. I need help moving." Go to your Sunday school teacher. He'll help you. Okay? You say, "Really?" Yeah, he will. Where should you get help for that? You should be your friends, right? Your church friends are your friends? Move, and we'll see if they really are, okay? Last time I moved, we had a Sunday school class activity, amen? I'm the teacher, so it was easy. We're having an activity this Friday. We're moving. And, man, I got a bunch of guys over there, and it did not take long at all, okay? And I had lemonade and drank coffee, and they did all the work. Sunday school, I encourage you, get involved in your Sunday school class. Go to your Sunday school class. The next thing underneath that, church membership. Church membership. You see the verse there. I think you have the verse in Hebrews. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves." Forsaken means abandoned. God wants us to meet together. Church, by the way, when we're church membership is this, I'm going to commit to make this my church. Everybody needs a church that's their church. You have to. It's a commitment. And by the way, we just live in a time where we don't like to be committed to anything. Okay, you know, we've been burned in relationships. We've been burned, you know, somebody called and got us hooked in some membership at some, you know, "Hey, I got a membership at the gym." You know, they got your money and you never go, okay? That type of thing. We just don't like commitment. But find your church. Get a church and make it your church. Look at Acts. Well, I'll read the verses to you. We're getting behind here. The church is important. Ephesians chapter 5, God tells the husbands this. Husband, love your wives. By the way, he never tells the wives that love the husbands. Why? Because we're knuckleheads. Okay? That's hard. God's not going to tell our wives to do something impossible. Just kidding. They naturally love. Men, we struggle. It says, "Husband, love your wives." Now, here's the kicker. "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Seriously? Really? They had to throw that in the Bible? That's a tough one. "I love my wife." Okay, wait a minute. "As Christ loved the church." There's always a catch. You know, it is what it is. But Christ loves the church, okay, and he gave himself for it. Acts chapter 2, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily." All these new people in the early days of the church in the New Testament were getting saved, and they were being added together as a group. If you've been coming to this church and say, "Man, I like this church. I think this is my church," let me ask you to do something. Become a member. Commit to it. Say, "This is my church." Okay? Commit to it. So that's the second step, loving others. What does it mean? We go to our Sunday school class. We want to be a part of that so we can be encouraged and we can encourage others. And then we want to make a commitment to say, "You know what? I want to be a member of the church here." Maybe those are the steps you need to take. Let's hasten. We really have to hasten. Step 3, serving God. And I'll go quickly through these. Serving God. What is serving God? If we love him, we will serve him with all our strength. Okay? We'll serve him. Now, what helps us in these areas? There's two things. Discipleship. Now, discipleship in the Bible is a commitment to Christ, being disciplined, not just being a Christian, okay? By the way, I don't like this. A lot of churches use the phrase when someone's Christian, "Oh, they're a follower of Christ." How do you know? Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they're a follower of Christ. Follower of Christ takes another step. They say, "You know what? I want to be his disciple. I'm going to grow. I'm going to learn what he has for me." That's a step. Now, in our church, what we try to do to help you with that is we have a discipleship class. What is that? on Thursday nights, during our Thursday night service, you'll go out with someone in your class. We have a booklet, and we just go through some of the things the church believes, and we teach you on that. Discipleship, spending time with God, spending time in prayer, the importance of some of the things we do here. And it helps us to grow. And many of you here, you've been through our discipleship course. Maybe you're new here, and that's a step you need to take. Talk to your Sunday school teacher and say, I want to go through discipleship. It's nothing earth-shattering. It's a one-on-one time or a couple with a couple, and you can ask questions, and it's just helping you out with that discipleship, okay? Maybe that's what you need to do. You can see this here, discipleship, the level of Christianity, Luke chapter 14. If any man come to me, hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, he's not telling us to go hate people. It's a comparison. Our love for Christ ought to be so strong. That's the foremost thing in our life, and everything else seems like hate. Whatsoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. By the way, you'll learn where you fit in this church. So I encourage you. So I've never went through discipleship. That ought to be the thing. Look at the next thing, stewardship. Stewardship. Discipleship has to do with how you're living for Christ. Stewardship has to do with how you're managing everything Christ has given to you. We'll talk about that. We have a month each year where we talk about stewardship. Steward means manager. Steward basically means that I am a steward of everything that God has given me. My life, my family, my time, my money, everything, my possessions. They're all given to me from God, and I'm supposed to use them the way God would want me to use them. That is stewardship. There's three big areas: our time, our talent, and our treasure. Maybe you don't see your life like that. You see everything you have as being yours. See, as a steward, we see that everything we have comes from God, so I use it the way God would want me to use it. How do I spend my time? Well, I want to make sure when I'm spending my time, I'm spending it doing some of those things that God tells me to spend my time doing. I have these talents I have. Everybody has talents. I want to use some of my talents that God has given me to do something for him. That's stewardship. Maybe that's the area you need help. And then let's look at number four, serving others. We love God, we love others, and because we love God and love others, number three, we serve God, and then number four, we serve others. See, God wants us not to just live for ourselves. He wants us to serve others, okay? By the way, let me just say this, and I hope this, you know, when you come to church and you say, I'm going to become a member, that doesn't mean that you could become a member so you get served. Now, by the way, we're here to serve you, absolutely. If you need help, no problem. But being a member also says, I'm volunteering to be here. How can I serve also? How can I help others? Now, God wants us to serve others. How do we do that? A, ministry involvement. You read the verses there. Titus talks about God wants us to be zealous to good works. Ephesians, how he gave us teachers and so forth in the church for the perfecting of the saints to build us up. Why? So we can go serve others. What do we mean by ministry? Ministry is using our spiritual gifts and talents that come from God to serve others through the church for God's glory. That's all it is. Ministry, it just what? You know, listen, I don't hear babies in here today. That's a good thing. Amen? Okay? Babies don't do comfortable in this service. Babies, they do things in their diaper that are just horrific. They make loud noises. They smell funny. It's better for them to be in the nursery. Amen? But can I just tell you something? You can't just put them in the nursery by themselves. There's got to be someone watching those kids. We have, for the smaller children, we have a junior church so they can be taught on their level. We have a bus ministry where we have workers out even now that go out into some of these areas where maybe their parents don't come to church, and they'll go out there and offer a ride to parents and teenagers. And over 300. They come to church that wouldn't be able to come to church otherwise because someone cares enough to go invite them to church and bring them to church. Okay, ministry, all kinds of stuff. How's it clean around here? Someone has to vacuum. Okay, all these things we do, and it's great. Well, a lot of people look at our building, how it's been built. It's been built because people will use their gifts on the job site to help the building to be built. And so that's ministry, using your gifts to help others. Look at the verse there in Matthew. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, that's a parable of Christ. He tells a parable of a king who was commending his subjects for doing things for him. And the subject said, you know, we never did anything for you. And he said, well, if you did that to any of the people in my kingdom, it was the same thing as you doing it to me. So whenever we serve somebody for Christ's sake, it's the same as if we were serving Jesus. If I see someone that has a need, all right, for instance, we mentioned, say you're moving, and you come to me and say, you know, I need help moving. And I've helped people move before, and I go help them because I'm doing it as a Christian. By the way, don't get any ideas. Ask your Sunday school teacher. By the way, if you're in my class, ask Ryan Rawl. He's the assistant. okay. But you know what I'm doing? If I'm doing that because I'm a Christian, I'm just trying to be a blessing, you know what? I help Jesus move. Amen? By the way, if you want to take me out to eat, you can take Jesus out to eat, okay? It's the same thing as buying Jesus dinner, all right? Ministry involvement. And then the last thing is this. It's what we call soul winning. Now, if you're new and you don't get that, that's simply where we go out and we tell others about how Jesus Christ saved us. Remember the very first step? Salvation? It's when we, whenever we have an opportunity, use that to teach others how they can go to heaven when they die. That's soul winning. Now, we've said a lot of things and we had to go kind of quick. Here's what I want you to do. And ushers, can we get ready here? We're going to pass those cards out. I want you to think about, what is the next step? Where were you? By the way, you say, man, I got 6 steps to go. You're not going to get them all at one time, okay? Are you with me? But maybe there's a couple of them you can get started with. Okay? What we're going to do is this. Can I get the pianist? Where's the pianist here? Just like that. There's my daughter. I told her when she was in my wife's stomach, she was going to play piano. Just kidding. All right. Can I get some music? Let's pass these out. I want everybody to get one of these cards. Here's what we're going to ask you to do. No, not those. I'm sorry. This card. We'll pass those out at the end. Okay? We have a little card we're going to go over to. You know what it basically is? It's all the steps. And what I want you to do is think, is there a step you need to take that maybe this morning you thought, you know what? I want to take that next step in my life. By the way, if you want, we can help you how that works. Okay? I want everybody to get one of these. I want you to fill this out. What step do you need to take? Maybe you look under step one, you say, you know what? I've not been saved. Check that one. Or it's like, I've been saved, but I need to be baptized. Check that and circle the where it says baptism. Maybe you would say, you know, I'm going to start getting in my Bible. I'm going to start growing spiritually. Check that one. Maybe you go to step two and say, you know, I've been coming to church and I've been invited to a Sunday school class, but I haven't went. I need to go attend that Sunday school class and meet some people in the church. By the way, we don't bite. Most of us. Some occasionally do. Okay? I want to become a member of the church. I'm interested in church membership. Now, maybe you're interested and you're not going to make that commitment right now. If you mark that, we'll have our membership, Brother Pineda, talk to you, let you know what it's all about. Okay, so you know what you're getting into. Step three, maybe you want to start our discipleship class. Okay, step four is stewardship. Basically, that just means you're going to start living your life saying, you know, I want to live my life stewarding the things, managing things that God has given me the way God would want me to. That's kind of it's like a spiritual growth. It's kind of a, Number four, get involved in a ministry. Say, I've been here, I've done all these things, but I don't serve. Maybe, ladies, you say, I want to take a shot at those kids in the nursery. No, not a real shot at them, okay? You know, or maybe I want to get in help here or help there or whatever. You know what we always use someone to help with the buses or the whatever, okay? And then the last thing is maybe I want to learn how to share my faith with someone else. Now, you say, I do all of these things, okay? Then you just attach a $100 bill to that and stuff. I'm kidding. Look at that. It says, I have gone through all these steps, and I want to help someone else. You know, sometimes you meet somebody and you bring them to church or you get to know them. Maybe you can help them understand the 4 steps and help them go through the 4 steps. Say, man, I'm going to pray that God brings somebody that I can help in some of these areas. Okay, let's fill that out briefly. Jessica, I'm going to fill mine out. We're going to take that, put an offering plate in a minute, fellas. If you could put your class on there, your Sunday school class. So If there's something our teachers can help you with, they will. If you say, if I'm new and I don't really have a Sunday school class or I don't remember, that's fine. Just put it in there. We'll help you. I'm sorry. We've taken a couple minutes late. Been a couple minutes late. I apologize for that. Okay, ushers, why don't we come forward and let's turn these in. If we can turn these in. Thank you. What's the whole concept today? We want to continue to grow in our faith. By the way, all of us, number two, spiritual growth, all of us, that's a step we need to take forever. Always going forward. As that's finishing up, why don't we all stand? If it's come by you, let's all stand and bow our head and close our eyes.